He describes an economy in which marginal, this is Rifkin, in which marginal costs of production will plummet, resulting in a brave new world in which thousands, this is quoting Rifkin, and I think I'm going to encourage you guys to just read it online. But he's basically saying that there's going to be a smart, what does he call it? The Internet of Things that connects everything and everything, everything and everyone, billions and billions of sensors and blah, blah, blah. And lots of stuff that we can't imagine and you're supposed to lust after. But who's buying this stuff? And how is it that they're able to? And who's going to feed the folks who have all this discretionary income, especially as he leaves the, you know, the stuff, the bad stuff for the end, not to spoil our good vibe. Extreme storms and floods are occurring twice as often, he says. Droughts, agriculture yields will decline all over the place. Human infrastructure collapsing. Is it any wonder they're pushing so hard to create a quote-unquote economy based on cooperation for us? We're supposed to cooperate with their raping us, to get us to give generously of our time and willingly continue to let them direct our lives, the ones who created this mess, which was what I was running through my head coming in, hearing this guy talk about, we have done this to the planet. Excuse me. We haven't been allowed to do diddly squat. You know, they don't want to hear a peep out of us. It ain't we who made this mess. And please stop telling me it's divisive to say that the global state statesmen aren't the problem. They are the problem. They want to rule. We don't need rulers. They're trying to hang on to rule. This is just the reality we're faced with. They have manipulated our good hearts, our good natures, only because we haven't been able to talk about it. Because those good hearts and good natures need to be turned to their proper target, object, us, ourselves, and the earth. They don't need any more adulation and tolerance from us. And it ain't about them. It's about us growing up. And every good fairy tale needs a villain. Would it surprise you to learn it's corporations? Power's traditional cover? The facade global power apparently cannot do without. During the February 16th show on Misdirecting Dissent, we argued that the left's ability to be strategic has been successfully derailed by power, in large measure via the efforts of propped-up pundits, directing it down fruitless paths. So here's another example, the parade of futurists, not just of the broad strategy of misdirection, but of the particular strategy for power of using the economy for cover. And while last week we repeated what was said in an earlier discussion that scarcity is self-justifying, and if imposed universally, reduces the need for economic ideology, what we're seeing in power's clinging to this idea of capitalism is power's need for its larger ideological purpose, capitalism's ideological function in this stage of the game is less about providing motivation or legitimization or justification of rule, and now almost exclusively about providing power with cover, shielding its totalitarian planning from public scrutiny, and trying to get we the people on its side. As Ugo told them, no vacuum in the human heart. So, their story will go, there's no plan to force our brothers and sisters in other lands into a desperation that's inescapable. Oh no, there's only evil corporations. And of course, that example of destitution will also do admirable service as a cautionary tale for all of the privileged servants as a reminder of how good they have it. A guaranteed income and all that freedom. And who's the only player strong enough to do battle with this villain, the evil corporations? Well, the state, of course. Only daddy has sufficient resources. We the people are way out of our league. We must go back to our bedtime stories and let the big boys lead. He tells us there's an epic struggle going on, and I agree. But of course, this is not the epic struggle that I see.